with the Sunday closest to Christmas, you know, we like to go through the whole we don't really know what the day probably wasn't. We celebrate the birth of Jesus every day, you know, that stuff. And, you know, I've been told different times throughout ministry career, you know, you don't really have to do a Christmas sermon at Christmas. You know, don't feel pressured. And sometimes I try to go along with that advice. I spent the week ready to preach on Nehemiah this morning. We had a nice class on Nehemiah on Wednesday, and it was going to be a nice way to come to the, you know, as we come to the end of the Bible reading plan that we're doing. We started with Nehemiah at the end of last December, and we were going to. And then I start listening to the music this week, start seeing the shows and the movies, and I start thinking, well, maybe we should talk something about Christmas. Maybe we don't have to go. Don't have to go big, but maybe we should talk something about Christmas. So I started looking at some of that, and you know, started thinking about the scene and the picture. And fast forward to last night, and I'm writing poetry, writing a new Christmas poem. That yeah, we'll get to that at the end of this morning. I tried, but there's something special about this scene, something special about this week, the songs that we sing, and the images. So let's talk about this story. One thing that might be strange, because of the last several years, sadly not this year, doing Journey to Bethlehem. If you ask me what's the scene from the Christmas story that stands out most in my mind, I'd probably say the Sermon on the Mount. Might seem odd unless you've been out to Journey to Bethlehem, where they take the hayride all the way through from the prophets to the manger scene through the life of Jesus. And every year I've been at the same spot doing Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount. And I love it. I missed it this year. I was adding it up. Next week I'm going to do my 50th sermon of the year. But there's one that I didn't get to do because we got bad weather. It may be strange, but I think of the Sermon on the Mount when I think of the Christmas story. And thinking of that, yeah, this is going to be one of those stream of consciousness things maybe a little bit today. I told you how my week went. Thinking about what means so much to me about an event like Journey to Bethlehem, thinking about how the ways that this Christmas story is often told, it made me think about, we know this picture isn't accurate, right? We know that the shepherds and the magi weren't there at the same time, right? Matthew tells about one, Luke tells about the other. They were in the there at the manger scene with the shepherds. They were in a house with the magi. We know this isn't a completely accurate picture, but it does a nice job bringing together some of these scenes. Now, I'm going to suggest that even with this picture that brings together all those scenes from Matthew and from Luke, that maybe we should see more when we look at this picture. Maybe in the same way that when you ask me nativity, I say, oh yeah, you have the shepherds and the wise men and the manger and the Sermon on the Mount and the triumphal entry and all that stuff. Maybe in the same way that comes into my mind, maybe we need to look at the full picture And when we talk about Jesus' birth, or when we talk about Jesus' death, we need to give the same emphasis to the in-between. And maybe we say, yeah, sure, we do. But think about the ways that we talk about the gospel story. We spend time reading in our Bibles, but so they say, tell me the gospel story. They say, well, Jesus, God came to earth as a human. Was a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Rose again. And now we have the promise of life. We talk about people that come to church on Christmas and Easter, but then so often when we tell what's important about Jesus, well, we say, well, Christmas and Easter. Our songs do it. A few weeks ago, we sang, Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves the little children. He died for the little children. He rose, and he lives. I don't know if you know the song. Do I know the song? What was I going to do? Lord, I lift your name on high. Beautiful song. He came from heaven to earth. From the earth cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. It's beautiful. But we very often go from this picture to the cross. Incarnation, crucifixion. And as I was thinking about this, if that's all it was, if Jesus was God coming and being the sacrifice, did that need to take 30-some years? If all it is God becomes human, gives up that life for our sins, couldn't the result have been the same if Herod did find Jesus at this scene? If all Jesus did was come to bleed, then the adult Jesus was no greater sacrifice than Jesus as a child. No sin then either. Son of God then either. But if it's all about God being willing to sacrifice, it wouldn't have been any different if it had ended in this picture instead of the cross. So something matters. Something has to matter about that life. When we tell what is important, it can't just be the beginning and the end. Because even though those confessions are not wrong, there's something more to be said there. Sure, if pressed, we would say there's more stuff, and we say we can't say everything every time we come to the communion. But I think for this Christmas, as we look at this scene, let's talk about the rest of the life. And I think we can still keep this picture. We don't have to cast it aside. We already acknowledged it's not entirely accurate, so let's keep the inaccurate picture and fix some other things that need to go along with it. Maybe this picture, which is inspiring, I think, maybe the parts of this picture can help remind us of those other things. They can help us see all the things in this life that are to come. That way, when we look at the nativity picture, we can see not the birth of Jesus, but the life and the plan. We talked about the plan this morning in Bible class, the plan of Jesus. And so, maybe we start in the middle. We see Mary there. I said Mary in the Church of Christ. It's okay. We see Mary. And maybe what we see there is someone chosen to receive a miracle. We don't know why she was chosen. She didn't ask for it. But she was the first life of many who would come in contact with Jesus and be changed miraculously. Some asked for it, some didn't. Some we were given reasons why Jesus blessed them with whatever healing or other things that he did. Some, he just says, here's a blessing. When we see Mary, we see all those lives that Jesus would touch, all the miracles that Jesus would bring in his life. And she was the first. Move over just a bit and we see Joseph. An odd figure, if we get into discussing it. May not have been the father of God. May not have been the father of Jesus. But I don't think we diminish a dad's role in a life. And we know one of those roles is teaching. I like to think I think when we see Joseph, we see the first teaching that Jesus received. And I think as we see the story, we go from Jesus sitting and learning the scripture. Like a good student in Hebrew school. Learning a trade. Learning what his dad did. And I think we go from him learning to shift to, we see Jesus teaching. You go from learning to teaching. You have to learn first. And when we see Joseph, maybe we see Jesus and the many people that he taught. Maybe you see the Sermon on the Mount. I do. Maybe you see the times when Jesus sat down with someone to teach. Maybe you see Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night and Jesus teaching, showing the way. You might not see that with a baby in a manger, but we need to see that. That Jesus' life included incredible teaching and authority and the way that he talked. And then we can look at the Magi, the wise men. We don't know a lot about them. In fact, it's one of those things where the more you research, the less you feel you know. It comes to all kinds of translations and different references. But what we do know is these are some people that had some things, and having come across Jesus, they had fewer things. Right? Can we say that? They came across Jesus and they laid down things of value. They gave gifts. They left something behind and went away filled with something else. Right? Maybe the first of many lives who came to Jesus and gave up something they thought was important to come away with something more. That's a part of his life. That's a part that we need to see. Everything in this scene begins such an incredible story. The other visitors, the shepherds. Maybe when you see them, you think about their first reaction. They were afraid. They were there as protectors, right? Protecting their sheep, watching over them. They see light, they see angels, they see the gospel story, the first to receive this message, and they were afraid. They were curious. They went to go find out. Like so many in Jesus' life, people came sometimes out of fear, sometimes out of curiosity, sometimes out of concern for the things they're trying to protect. Sometimes that's not a positive story. There were many religious leaders that were trying to protect their people and were afraid of what Jesus might represent. came to Jesus to find out. Some of them stayed. Some of them said, that's not something I can do. Many people came to Jesus. Some were blessed. Some didn't get it. All began in this scene. Do you ever notice most of these scenes have these animals around? You don't see them in the text. They make for a good thing where if you have extra kids around, dress them up like a sheep, dress them up like a cow, right? Everybody's got something to do. It's nice for filling in a picture. The Bible doesn't say anything about them. We figure they were there, though, right? That makes me think of all of the people that Jesus came across that we don't know their names and we don't know their stories. I have been surprised in our Sunday night class when we went through the Gospels. I never would have thought of how much time we would have spent discussing how much we'd like to be there for certain conversations that happened. You know, Jesus talks with the woman at the well, and we see that back and forth. Give me some water. No, I'm a Samaritan. And, bring me your husband. Well, about that. And I see you're a prophet and all of that. And it says, he went and he spent time talking with her community. And we said, well, I wonder what he had to say to them. And there are a lot of times that we said, okay, we have this well-known part and then a reference to conversations that Jesus had or teachings and lives changed. And we said, boy, I wish I had that story. Maybe we called them the faceless blessed. The people that their lives were changed whether we know about it or not. You know, Jesus' life wasn't about giving us a good story to read. It was about impacting everybody he came across. Maybe think of them when you see these animals wandering in to fill the empty space in a painting. Of course, we have the star. That one's hard to mistake. Above the whole scene, God's presence. And that's not just in this picture. Jesus' whole life, above the whole story, God is there, looking on. We see him in some places saying, that's my boy, I'm proud, you should listen to him. Other times we don't hear a voice, don't see a dove, but we know God is there. Which brings us to the very middle of the picture. A newborn that we look at and we all know where the story is going. Its end is in sight. We don't like to think of we talk straight from the manger to the cross. We don't like to think this is a baby and it's headed to that end. But in between all of that, much of this thing that is called gospel, this good news, all begun in this picture. All the lives touched continue to be touched in some way similar to the people we see here. As we celebrate Christmas this year, I imagine we'll see manger scenes. And I think they're valuable. I think they are special. I hope that when we see that, we don't just see a story about a baby. You know, we've maybe all seen comedy scenes about people that don't recognize that he grew up. And say, oh, I like the baby. I like the story about the baby, and we say, well, that's the same Jesus all the way through. And maybe we can think about all these parts of his life just by looking at this one picture. If it's okay with you, as I was writing this, like I said, I don't know what it is about Christmas time. I get artistic a little bit. I'm going to close this morning and read a poem I came up with a lot of these ideas. I hope it means something to you. It became pretty special to me as I was going through it. So let's look at a message about the life that Jesus lived that was begun in this scene. This nativity scene, what a story it tells, the truth amidst presents and jingling bells. But there's more to this picture. It just began at this stable. Look again with me now, see his life if you're able. Look at Mary, so peaceful, with her baby wrapped tight, given birth to the Savior this first Christmas night. Just the first to be blessed by this newly born King, countless more would be touched by the power he'd bring, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, the paths of the Maker and the Maid intertwined. Take a look now at Joseph, not the father, just dad. Did he know what a task from above he now had? A young boy needs a teacher, learn God's word, learn a trade, learn to live like the one through whom God is displayed. And in turn, Jesus taught, showed the people what's right. He showed them the way and the truth and the light. The Magi watched stars seeking truth in the air. They gave up their treasures when they saw Jesus there. Many others would follow, leaving jobs, leaving kin. Left the world's wealth for Jesus to be fishers of men. The shepherds were scared when they heard the good news. Heavenly hosts say a baby is king of the Jews. Leaving flocks in the fields, they had to go see. Would they see him with faith or just curiosity? All his life, crowds kept coming, word spread far and wide. Some would stay to the end, some left unsatisfied. See the livestock around him, they aren't in the story. But they must have been there when he came in his glory. It can't all fit in one book, every life that he'd reach, every person he'd care for, every lesson he'd teach. But we know that he knew them. He cared for each one. What a gift to be known by our God's only Son. See the star shine above, giving light from on high, a sign that the Father was always nearby. He was there at the stable and at the river with John, at the transfiguration and the tomb when he'd gone. There's no time he's not present in his Son's life or ours. Think of him when you stand underneath those same stars. Now turn your eyes upon Jesus on the day of his birth. Just the first of his days spent with us here on earth. He was more than a baby, more than a lamb to be killed. See the lives that he touched, see the storms that he stilled. Our God lived among us, the one true incarnation. His life was not spent just in this illustration. First he lay in a manger, then to heaven he soared. In between those great days, Jesus lived. Praise the Lord. If you need anything this morning, if you need prayer, if you need baptism, if you need to celebrate with us the amazing thing that happened in this story, if you need anything, we want to hear it. This is family time. We say that every week, how much more around Christmas. If you need to share anything with your family here, come forward and tell us as we stand and sing.
I am resolved no longer to